time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Today, I talked to ACT's Brooke Van Velden about their Te Huri Hanganui Professional Development Program for Educators and how the ACT Party believes there is a white privilege agenda behind it. After that, we then move on to discuss the government spending $250,000 on polling for the Unite Against COVID-19 campaign.
Both National and the ACT Party have voiced concerns around their Te Huri Hanganui Professional Development Program for Educators. What is the ACT Party's issues with teaching adults how to address racial bias?
The issue I have with conversations around race and teaching and educational achievement is we're forgetting about what sort of society we actually want to live in. Do we want to live in a society where we categorize people based on their race, or do we want to acknowledge that all people are individuals and should have universal rights that are afforded to all people? And I think it's an important distinction that we have to make when we're asking, you know, young people to stand up in their classroom and address their white privilege. And then also having Ministry of Education staff learning about their own white privilege and addressing guilt and shame that they may feel for learning about it. And we need to get into a situation where we're simply addressing that all people should have individual rights rather than trying to fight racism with forms of discrimination.
So,
and the issue that I take with these sorts of courses that are being pumped out by the Ministry of Education is we don't want to live in a society where we're racially profiling people in policing situations, for example. So why is it that on the other hand, when it comes to the education system, we're intentionally trying to divide people based on their race and tell teachers and tell education staff that different children should be treated differently because of what they look like?
So do you think that we live in a neutral society that doesn't have any prejudice or discrimination?
I think when you take the education example, which is what we're talking about here with the courses, we're failing to look at the individual. If you take education, you know, you can look at a whole range of different statistics that might show that white students have better educational outcomes. I think that is the basis that a lot of this is coming from.
Shouldn't we take those statistics into consideration?
They are far too simplistic because if you take, for example, white students performing better than Māori or Pacific students, that is where I think this white privilege is coming from, where people are wanting to address it. But Asian students quite often have educational performances that are better than white students. But we're not asking Asian students to address their Asian privilege.
The Associate Education Minister Jan Tinetti notes that white privilege is not in school curriculums but is a common theme throughout New Zealand's history. If the ACT Party does not want to touch on white privilege, how can we cover these topics factually?
Because white privilege is far too simplistic. If you take that one example, we're not asking Asian students to address their Asian privilege when it comes to better educational outcomes. Things are not that simple. Think of how insulting it is for a young student to have to stand up in front of their class and address their white privilege when they may be being molested. They may not have any food at home. They may not feel like they have any form of privilege. But it's also doing something worse, where it's taking people and categorizing them into boxes, forgetting that they're individuals and that, in fact, some people do have really good lives where it seeks to divide and tell people based on their race, you know, you have worse outcomes. You will be different to another student.
But
I think we need to acknowledge the inherent right and dignity of all people and all students rather than trying to divide people based on their race.
The program is about teaching adults who are teachers how they can better understand the impact that they are going to have on the kids. It's not about teaching children to stand up and talk about white privilege.
But there are multiple things happening, and I think you're touching on this. We have teachers who are being asked to confront their own privilege. We also have Ministry of Education staff. Those are the people who are setting the curriculum for the country being told to confront their own white privilege. And we did have an example earlier this year of a student who was asked to confront their own white privilege in front of their class. And I think this is terribly divisive and doesn't actually point to any of the problems or any of the solutions that we could, in fact, make for better educational outcomes for everybody. Why is it that the Ministry of Education are more concerned about confronting their own white privilege than actually looking at how do we make sure that we have children finishing school with literacy and numeracy? We are falling behind. And over the last 3 years under this government, we have constantly fallen in our rankings across the OECD for educational outcomes. Now, can you put that down to racism? I don't think you could, because that would be an acknowledgement that under this government, racism has increased. It is not as simple as saying that it's something to do with white privilege.
White privilege is a theme connected to some of the curriculum that teachers are wanting to implement in the schools. And the ACT Party is focusing on the white privilege themes in particular. Why is it that the ACT Party feels uncomfortable discussing topics such as these? Do you think racism should be ignored?
Oh, absolutely not. I think where racism does exist, it should be acknowledged and we should do something about that. What I fear from programs that are being put in place in the Ministry of Education, throughout our education system, is we're asking ministry officials, we're asking teachers, we're asking other students to look at people and consider that they are different from us. And that may lead to different educational outcomes. I think that's wrong. We should be, in fact, teaching students because, of course, what they learn and how they interact with other students will be coming from teachers. And we need to make sure that teachers and students are acknowledging that every person in a classroom is equal and that, in fact, we can actually all succeed if we hard work and we put our minds to task and do well.
Brooke and I then move on to talk about the government spending $250,000 on polling regarding the Unite Against COVID-19 campaign. Why is ACT frustrated by the amount of money spent on the Unite Against COVID-19 campaign?
So I've been going around the country for a number of weeks talking to people, and COVID has been an issue that has consistently come up. We have no plan that's written down as a framework for how we want to reconnect to the rest of the world and get our lives back to normal. And that's what I'm hearing that people want. We have what's called COVID fatigue. You know, people do want to know what is the plan for how we get back to life as normal, how we get our family members back through the border. And I take one example. I met a woman who said that she's really hurting because her family member is overseas and is dying. And they would really love to know that they could go over and visit and be able to come back. Now, the problem there is that MIQ is booked up until November, and it's not certain that you'd be able to come back. There are all of these family business situations where people want to know how the government is expecting them to get life back to normal. The problem that we have with this polling is it gives an impression that the government has been making its decisions not based on scientific fact, but on whether decisions made by the government would be popular. I mean, you take, for example, you know, we've had a prime minister and a government that has a huge amount of support through the COVID period. And we have decisions that are being made where we are constantly, as politicians and as the public, asking for more information and for more transparency on why is it that good decisions are being ignored for a really long time. Why is it that some scientific technologies that could have been taken up have been taken over 6 months for us to implement? Now, if the government is polling on whether the COVID plan that they have, the Unite Against COVID, is popular, I think we get into a really tricky situation where we start to ask the question, well, is it that we didn't get RSE workers through the border was that based on science and any justifiable reason why we couldn't get seasonal workers through the border because of an actual risk? Or was it because the government is focus grouping and polling to see whether that decision would be popular? It's the same for if you take saliva testing. That was acknowledged in February that it was a good way of testing for COVID, far quicker and less intrusive into people's bodies.
As well as the polling, the government is being advised by scientists. There is a team of COVID-19 advisors who are scientists that are providing the government with scientific advice as to how New Zealand should respond to COVID-19. How would this polling affect their relationship to the decisions being made?
Well, the government have consistently been very slow to release the advice it has from scientists. I mean, you look at the SCEG report, which was from last year. It took months for the government to release the information that it had from scientists. And we have to always ask that question, well, why is that? You know, if we do want to be a transparent government, we want the public to buy into and take on board the messages that the government is giving out to people to keep us safe. We need to know that those decisions are actually being made on science rather than on polling. And could it be that the SCEG report took so long to release because the government was focus grouping whether or not the recommendations made in it would be publicly popular? I don't want us to be in a situation where we're constantly questioning the government's motives. I want to be in a society and a situation where we want to help the government do a good job and reconnect us to the rest of the world. The problem is that they seem to be spending more time on seeing whether their COVID plan is popular or its decision-making has been favourable to the public rather than actually releasing what a good plan would look like. And I think that's the situation that we've ended up in. You know, you look at Canada, for example, they are now in a situation where they're actively poaching New Zealand citizens to come over to Canada because they are now able to have people who are vaccinated come through the border.
Do you think that the government is doing a good job keeping COVID out of New Zealand?
I think the government to date has done a good job in making sure that we don't have COVID in the community, but we have to put a lot of that down to luck. We do know that we are lacking. You know, if you look at our vaccine rollout, for example, that took a very long time for us to get a plan in place. And now the government is falling behind the rest of the world. They said that we were going to be at the first, at the top of the queue to get the vaccine. And now we're one of the lowest in the OECD for the rollout. We need to be actively, constantly making constructive criticism of the government, but asking how we can do better. And that's where we want to go. We want to be asking, what is our actual plan for reconnecting? And I think there is a sentiment in society, from people that I've been talking to as I've gone around the country, of frustration that the government is far too slow to react to new technologies, new ideas, even taking up oppositional ideas that are good. And we do have to now question, is it because the government has been polling and focus grouping whether those ideas are popular before they release them to the public?
That was Brooke Van Velden talking about the Te Huri Hanganui Professional Development Program for Educators and the government spending $250,000 on polling for the Unite Against COVID-19 campaign.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.